Blog Talk Radio.
Little one, everything is going to be all right. You're listening to Tippy Talk. Time now to sit back, relax, listen, and enjoy the moment. Newborn is the official band that provides all the music for Tippy Talk. To hear more of the music, you can go to newbornband.com and enjoy the wonderful sound. And now it is time to step into the Tippy Zone, where we explore the other side of reality, the side that allows you to reshape your life, step into your power, and connect to the fact that we are all one. Welcome to Tippy Talk, where we go from where you are to where you want to be. I'm your host, Tippy Feldstein. Hello, everybody. This is Tippy Feldstein again, and our guest today is Michael Edward Bradford. He's an intuitive energy healer and so much more. So much more that if I read everything, I'll probably be reading for a long time. But let me give you an idea what I mean by so much more. He has expertise in the area of health, healing, personal excellence, spiritual growth, entrepreneurship, and success. He has a master's degree in international management and advanced training in intuition, NLP hypnosis, Reiki, energy medicine, reading energy patterns, and many other specialties. During his travels, shared healing experiences with Native American medicine people, Canadian medicine people, and Eskimo healers, Peruvian shamans, the psychic surgeons from the Philippines, the Maoris, and hundreds of therapists, healers, psychics, shamans, and medical professionals. And so you see, we have so much to cover, and that is why we're going to divide this in two. And today is going to be the first half, and then next week we're going to come back again with the second half. But today we're going to talk specifically about energy healing and finding your purpose in life, because otherwise we'll be talking to Michael for the next year and probably still not cover everything that he has done. So, Michael, welcome to Tippy Talk. How are you today?
Well, I'm doing great. Thank you very much for having me on the show. And, you know, when you had the saying, everything's going to be all right, I mean, that is the perfect statement, because we're all being guided, especially when we allow ourselves to be guided and helped. And no one said we had to do it alone. No one said we couldn't ask for help. We can ask for help. And when the light is shown on the path, it's easier to walk the path and understand what it is that we've come here to do, what we've come here to learn, and to have that that support, that love, support, and direction.
Wow, so that's called synchronicity.
I just loved it. What would you like to talk about first?
Well, I see over here that you say that you do things with great love and compassion and understanding. And I'm wondering when that actually became part of what you do, how that came about, or when you realized, at what point in your life you realized that you can actually incorporate those kind of qualities into what you do.
Well, let me start by saying I never set out to be a healer or help people like this. I was dealing with my own pain. Came out of a dysfunctional family and came out of a situation where wasn't really wanted and supported. So I was in survival mode most of my life. And I felt like there was something more. I didn't know what it was. Couldn't trust my parents, or especially my father. Didn't have the support. And I started searching. I was in a lot of pain, had a lot of anger, a lot of hurt, a lot of feelings of betrayal. And I wanted to know how to get better. I wanted to stop the pain. So I started going to different people, probably in my mid-30s, and asking questions and seeking help. You know, the medical profession, most of the time, they don't have time to get into what is going on a deeper level. So they'll give you a pill or they'll do their best to help you. But they're masking the true pain. They're helping the symptoms, but they're not getting to the core. And then I started meeting people like Native American medicine people and other people who, through ceremony, through different healing modalities, seemed to have an answer. And it was a journey of self-discovery, of understanding, you know, that I chose my parents, I chose to come to Earth at this time, what the interaction was. In other lifetimes, I had developed my mental body, my physical body, my spiritual body, and I was pretty advanced in those areas. Actually, I was told that I saw the light and went for the light, but I left my emotional body behind, and my emotions was my Achilles heel. So this lifetime I chose to come back, and astrology people looked at my chart and said, Michael, you're insane. You've picked four lifetimes worth of karma to deal with in one lifetime. And so this lifetime I've been learning about my feelings, my emotions, how to relate to people. And the other thing that happened is, Tippi, it's too painful for me to listen to people's stories. I'm an empath. I'm way too sensitive. I've had menstrual cramps. I've been sitting next to people who were drunk, and I was drinking water and wound up getting a hangover. So I have to be pretty aware, responsible to myself. And I had to learn that because I was on overload most of my life.
I have a question. Being that sensitive, you said that up until the age of 30, you were kind of lost and you really didn't know what was going on. But until the age of 30, were you still that sensitive to other people? Were you still in touch with your, you said you're an empath? Was that still part of you? Or did that wake up after you got into your 30s, after you figured out?
I'm still healing that empath part. I'm still healing, learning boundaries, learning to say yes, learning to say no, learning to take care of myself. I'm still learning that. That's a lifelong process for me and for many other people.
Mm-hmm.
So, go ahead.
So you said you were looking for ways to stop the pain because you were in a lot of pain. You're talking about emotional pain, physical pain, mental pain. What kind of pain?
More emotional. And the way I did it is I threw myself into school. I threw myself into what I could understand, math and science. So mm-hmm. I did a lot of I was very successful. Well, I wasn't. I came close to dropping out of high school. I was more successful in college than I was in high school, and I was more successful in graduate school than I was because it was more specialized. There was more things that I was interested in. I think a lot of people get caught up in the system, and to find out who we really are, what we really want, what our soul is calling us to do. See, part of the challenge is that there's no test on the earth plane that measures soul. All the tests they give you will measure your aptitude, your skills, what you're what you've done in the past. They measure ego and personality. But the
right.
to find out what a person's soul is calling them to do has to be done, for me, it's best done when you read their energy and they're talking to you and you watch, and their energy will expand when they come into alignment with their soul's purpose or they start discussing that. So it's real different. A person could be a baker and you know, a phenomenal baker, but their heart may be wanting to learn about music this lifetime. Their soul commitment coming in may be 180 degrees different from what they've mastered in the past. So I cover one of the reasons I wrote my new book was because in working with people, many people did not have the broad understanding about what the earth plane is, as far as my understanding of it is, and how to function here on the earth plane, the challenges we have, and why people get scrambled, why people have the challenges that they have here. One of the big things that I talk about in my book is something called the prenatal healer, that many of us who are healers, therapists, counselors, we actually develop that gift or that desire when we were actually in the womb and the embryo was attached to our mother and we were trying to heal her and stabilize her, and we developed
wow.
a pattern called prenatal healer, where actually in the womb we learned to be a caretaker and not to pay that much attention to our own wants, needs, and desires.
So you get the drive to be a healer while you're still in your mother's womb. I thought, well, maybe it's because, you know, you're a certain way, you think everybody's like that, but I thought everybody has the drive to heal people. That's not the way it is?
Oh, absolutely not. There's people that are just interested in power. There's people that are interested in control. There's people that are interested in military. There's people... one of the things that I wrote down, I haven't thought about for a long time, there was one client that came to me and he said, Michael, he said, God hates me. And I said, what do you mean? He said, well, you know, I've been told I haven't been back to the earth in 25,000 years. And I checked and I said, well, you've got it all wrong. And I said that the earth wasn't ready and didn't have the lessons for you, for your soul to grow for the past 25,000 years ago. Now is the time, because you're a warrior light worker and now we need you. So people can misperceive what it is that their soul came here to do, because they're trying to put it into normal terms or understand it without seeing the bigger picture. So anytime someone is going through challenges, it's important to know, is that your challenges or did you pick it up from someone else? I've even seen people who picked up challenges from their guides and teachers, that it wasn't their challenges. And that's something, again, that most people don't realize. With the amount of, I've worked with over 20,000 clients all over the world, and I've seen many, many things that are extremely rare and different. Because I've traveled so much and worked in different cultures, I've seen the way that the soul comes to Earth, the type of lessons people choose, the way they express that, and it's broadened my understanding. In other words, I don't have just one modality that I've studied. I've studied many modalities, but then I've gone beyond those modalities. Just reading the energy. And at this point, I just sit back and look. The other thing is, I developed something very unique because it's too painful for me to listen to people's stories. I don't work through the layers of the onion. All I'm interested in is what is the core issue that when it occurred threw the whole body out of balance. I had one person I worked with, he was a head trainer in a big company working in personal development. He'd been working 13 years on his mother issues. And I met him and he asked me a question. He said, Michael, what am I missing? And I looked at him, I shrugged my shoulders and I said, it's easy. I said, it's not your mother issues. It's your father. Did your father ever say he loved you and he respected you? And the guy exploded into hysterical tears. Now, he'd been 13 years in counseling and therapy, and they never hit the core issue. And thank God, Spirit has given me a gift. It's also a big responsibility, Tippi, of being kind and gentle and compassionate, and to have my heart open. I even got tears in my eyes now as I'm talking to you, to see people and see the beauty of their soul and know that they've gotten, I don't want to say misled, they've judged themselves because they're comparing themselves to other people. Everyone is so unique. Everyone is so special. And for me, all I do is sit back, read the energy, and I ask Spirit, what is it that this person wants or needs? How can I best help this person? And the less I know, the less I think with my mind, the more quality information comes through so I can help the person.
Wow. So and basically what you're saying to me is the bottom line of really what you see yourself doing is being a healer. Regardless of the modality or the approach, and you basically tried different healing modalities, but then you found your own personal different one, like you said, every single person is different, way of being able to help people and heal people in the best way that you know how.
Yeah, I really want to acknowledge that everything that I've ever learned took me to another level. I'm incorporating everything and then going beyond it. I've been told by different healers and people that are astrologers looking at my chart that I'm bringing forth healing modalities from the ancient past, Atlantis and other places, and from the future. That my soul is actually a combination of Native American and extraterrestrial. So I'm bringing forth a lot of different modalities that are very different from the average earth plane energies. And I don't even know if I'd call myself a healer anymore. I'm doing my best just to be, and the term witness comes up. So I'm holding the frequency and vibration of the person's perfected soul. And it's just like with a tuning fork. When I hold that energy of unconditional love, perfection, however you want to call it, there's something within the person that resonates and says, oh my God, the real me is safe. The real me is being seen. The real me is being accepted. The real me is being honored. And when that happens, there's a triggering of a spark, awakening of knowing, and a shedding of their own pain, judgment, guilt, shame. You know, on Earth, we look at ourselves and we want to be perfect. We don't want to make mistakes. We don't want to be wrong. We don't want to look bad. And, you know, a child just plays and goes, oh, isn't that interesting? However, as we get older, we want to look good. We want to be accepted. We want to fit in a lot. And that deadens a lot of times our aliveness. And that aliveness is the spark of the soul.
Right. So that, well, I can imagine that if you're that sensitive and people are walking around with a lot of pain and you have to find a way to protect yourself from that. So how do you do that?
Well, that's an excellent question. Part of it is learning what's mine and what isn't mine. There's a lot of times I have, like when I had the menstrual cramps, it's like, okay, where did this come from? And it was the client that I was working with. It was actually on an Indian reservation where this one woman cut her leg open and I was doing my best to help her to stop the bleeding, et cetera. And I doubled up on the ground. So part of what I've done my best to learn is what is me and what isn't me. In other words, right now we're going through a solar flare. We're going through a full moon. We're going through a lot of different energy shifts.
Right.
So part of what's happened is learning to differentiate what's mine, what's not mine. And that takes time to learn that. I'm actually putting together a program to help people to deal with that, because that's a core issue. The other thing is learning to set energetic boundaries, learning to say no, that some people are too toxic to be around. Some people, some things we do to ourselves. I was never much of a drinker. I would have a few Heineken dark beers or something like that, and I loved scotch, whatnot, every once in a while. But I actually stopped drinking back, I don't know, about 12 years ago now, because it just affected me too much. So I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't do recreational drugs, and I'm doing my best to be healthy, to honor my body, but also to stay clear. I'm 73 years old right now, and I'm still in very good health, thank God. And Spirit has actually come through and asked me to stay until I'm 95 years old at least to help the planet, because I have that
healthy
combination.
If you're healthy, it's okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And Spirit said, Michael, you've got the business background. You know how to help companies. You know how to help corporations. You know how to, you know, do corporate turnaround and coaching and that to help business people. And you also know how to help children and people in the normal world. Or I don't know if this is normal world, but so I have the talented goal. And Spirit said that they needed boots on the ground. They needed people who could help and teach and support the planet. The other thing I want to say to the radio audience is, whatever you are doing, whether it's a waitress, whether you're head of a company, whether you're a parent, whether whatever it is you're doing, you're adding to the light of this planet. Just you breathing is enough that you're helping. So as long as we stay conscious, as long as we have the intention for the highest good of all concerned, to honor people, respect people, sometimes, you know, my definition of a healer is a person that can smile or just look at another person and help that person to shed some of their pressure, pain, create more joy in their life. So a lot of people have the image of a healer as being someone that's, you know, can touch people and transform them. However, we can do that sometimes just by a smile or a simple thank you or I really care about you. And I would like to send that energy out to the radio audience of how important each person is, regardless of what you think about yourself, what your financial position is, what your health condition is. You are still making a huge difference just by being here.
And that sounds really beautiful. But there's always one question that comes into my mind when you generalize that way and you say to each individual person, you're adding to the light. And I like to think that I am and that I could, but what about people who have really dark thinking process, who have unhealthy and not light-bearing thoughts, like sociopaths or something like that? Are they also adding to the light, or psychopaths?
We are on a planet of choice. We are on a planet of polarity, right, wrong, good, bad, black, white. We are on a planet where we have that full range spectrum of free will. This does not exist on other planets in the universe. I'm glad you asked that question, because a lot of people say, well, Earth is kindergarten. Earth is, you know, it's not a big deal. Earth is one of the most challenging schoolhouses and testing labs in the entire universe. This is where the masters come to test themselves, to see if they can hold their balance with sexuality, money, power, all these things. I'm going to share something. And when I was when I was, I've traveled to over 50 countries, and when I was in Germany, I contacted one of my other Jewish friends. We went around Berlin, and I said, I want to go where Hitler was killed and pray for his soul. And not that I agree with what he did. However, praying and bringing more light into this planet, we are a choice. There are no victims on planet Earth. It's really challenging for me to hear that when I see some people hurting other people. However, we're here to learn. What we see is not permanent. So in other words, what we see here on Earth, what we're going through, when we go back into spirit, we get a past life review, and we get a chance to review everybody and everything that we've ever experienced and why we acted the way we did, why we reacted. I'm going to be very vulnerable here, and I hear people go, oh, I was this horrible person in this life, or I was this horrible person in the other lifetime. And I jokingly say, and it is serious, I said, you're a rank amateur. I've blown up galaxies and solar systems. And I wouldn't, because I've done that, because I know that I've done bad things, I've done made quote-unquote mistakes, I don't want to ever do that again. I want to come from a place of honor. I want to come from a place of respect, kindness, gentleness. Yes, I'm a warrior. I'm an old warrior. I've led the armies of Rome, Egypt, Greece. I can go on and on, Israel. I can go on and on the different lifetimes when I was a warrior and I led the armies. But that was then, and this is now. Now my job is to bring the warriors home. My job is to teach the warriors how to forgive themselves, how to come back from Iraq, come back from Vietnam, and look at themselves differently and make peace with that part of them that became a trained killer. So this is all an evolutionary cycle. The soul in itself is pure. The soul comes and chooses. We've chosen whether we've been sexually abused, mentally abused, physically abused, emotionally abused. On some level, we said, I want to learn about that. And so it's a little challenging for some people to get it, especially when they're hurting and they're in pain. But even drug addicts, alcoholics, anyone with addictions, I have been able to help them to shift that energy and to look at themselves in a different way. Some of that is in my book. A lot of that is in my book. And I also have a healing meditation tape and other resources to help people. I'm surprised at how much I'm sharing, so I feel very comfortable with you, Tiffy, and I would imagine there's someone and some people in the radio audience that really need to hear this. And the other thing I want to say is ending one's life early is not the solution. It's not a way of getting away from the pain, because all you have to do is come back again next lifetime and you get a little more on your plate to deal with. So the best way to deal with pain, the best way to learn to move forward is to face your issues. And again, you can do it with help and support. There's no penalty for asking for help. In fact, that's part and one of the greatest lessons on earth. Ask and you shall receive, knock and the door shall open. These are all spiritual laws. And right. Unfortunately, a lot of people that have been hurt feel like they have to do it alone. You don't tell anyone. I was talking to a friend of mine today, and he said, Michael, I'm so ashamed of. And then he told me what he's ashamed of. And I said, right. And this happened to be one of the guys I know. And I said, you're an absolute beautiful human being. I'm glad you shared that with me. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And whatever a person has done, whatever they've gone through, whatever they've judged themselves for, it's really time to forgive and understand that this is part of the healing process, is part of the earth journey. Wow, I'm really on a roll tonight. Go go ahead, Tiffy.
Yeah, I like it. It's very nice. And going in the same direction, I really wanted to talk about finding your life purpose. But before I ask you about the life purpose, there's something that I'm just personally very, very curious about, because you talk about a lot of different things and a lot of really life-changing things. So do you believe in God?
I believe in spirit. I believe in – so I've worked in the Middle East, Kuwait, Dubai, Abu Dhabi. I've worked with strict Muslims in burqas, medical doctors, women. We had to stop 6 times a day so they can pray. I've worked with Buddhists, Hindus. Pardon?
Yes, I've been there.
So I've worked in Israel. For me, people look at God as it's my God rather than it's the God or the spirit.
No, but
so
I meant
for me,
you said that you believe in spirit, not necessarily in God. But I guess, really, what's your definition of God?
I believe that there is a universal source. It's wise, it knows, and we can tap into it. And this is, again, part of intuition, part of our higher self. I believe we're part of it, and we have free will, and we're learning about it. We're learning about who we are. So for me, God and spirit, whether it's great spirit, and I cover this in the book also, whether it's great spirit, whether it's looked at from a Christian point of view, and even from a Christian point of view, there's probably hundreds of different ways that they look at and see God. From the Jewish perspective, it's the same thing. There's a lot of different ways of looking at what people believe God is. And some people believe God is an angry person. And other people see God as a loving person.
Who believes God is an angry person?
You do this and that you're going to be killed. There's the God that says, some people believe that there's a God that says, if you're not of my faith, I should kill you. That's, to me, that's an angry God.
Who believes that? I'm just
there
asking
are
because I don't know anybody.
Well, most of the religions started out, you've got the Muslim, you've got the Christian religion, you've got a lot of the different religions, even the Jewish religion, where when they came into an area, people either converted or they were killed. There's
not in the Jewish religion. They never converted anyone. But anyway, I don't want to talk about religion, because the problem when I ask someone if they believe in God is that your definition of God may not be the same, and so it's hard to kind of figure out. From what I understand from what you're saying is that you do believe in God, and you think that your definition in God. Yeah, that you do believe in God, and to you, God means spirit. But
Correct. Regardless
of what it means to you, you don't believe that you were created by yourself, that you were definitely created by spirit, and that you're part of it. So that's what I mean by that. I don't mean what 1,000 different people believe. You know, you take 1,000 people, you're going to get 1,000 different points of view of what God is.
Absolutely.
Maybe.
If it's only 1,000, you'll probably get more. But go ahead.
Yeah, but you mentioned your book a couple of times. Can you give us the name of your book so that we know what you're talking about?
Yeah, my book is called Mastering the Human Experience, Your Soul's Journey on Earth. And there's been so many Michael Bradford, so I used my middle name, Michael Edward Bradford. It's available on Amazon and in both paperback and Kindle forms. And
so it's called Mastering the Human Experience, Your Soul's Journey on Earth. Your Soul's Journey on Earth is a subtitle?
Yes.
Okay. Got it. So it's Michael Bradford, I think, is like a lot of Michael Bradford. So if you stick your middle name in it, then people will know they'll kind of focus in on you better. So it's Michael Edward Bradford. Right?
And, yes, may I give my phone number?
Sure. Go ahead.
Okay,
you
I'm located.
Your number or your email?
Huh? I can do my email. It's michael@michaelbradford.com.
Michael@michaelbradford, if somebody wants to contact you. What's your website?
Michaelbradford.com.
Oh, duh.
I also have a YouTube channel where I've spoken to the Tony Robbins Yes Support Group a number of times. There's some videos there. I've got a new video that I'm going to be posting soon where I was working with the Family Constellation Group, and I was speaking at the North American Constellation Conference about entrepreneurship and how this, what I'm doing now, is applicable for businesses and companies. So that YouTube video will be put up within the next couple of weeks.
Okay, what's your name for the YouTube channel?
It's under Michael Edward Bradford again.
Michael Edward Bradford. Okay. I'm just pulling it up so that I, yeah, so there's a lot of them. My Intuitive Approach to Healing, Intuitive Investor, Miracle Healing. There's a lot of really great videos here. If anybody wants to check it out. So to my big question, if maybe we can address that, is the purpose of life. I think one of the important things for people to stop looking for everything in all the wrong places is if you know what your purpose in life is. And if somebody really is not sure what their purpose in life is, or maybe they don't even have a clue, where would they start the journey of finding out what their purpose in life is?
Okay. First of all, I would highly recommend my book as giving the foundation, mm-hmm. what it is, why we come here, and understanding the different interactions, where we, what energies we're influenced by. For me, coming to Earth is all about learning, changing, and growing. We're not being tested where we have to get an A+. For some of us, we're in what I call a practice lifetime, where we're just learning about a new way of being, whether it's for some people, it's being a parent. For some people, it's having a career. Everyone's different. And to look at that, a person, there is some information in there looking at astrology. There's a lot of different ways of doing that. However, the way I do it is I look at a person and I listen to them. And as I'm listening to them and watching their energy field, and I could do it on the phone or on Skype or Zoom or something, video, and I can see their energy shift. Their energy will shift when they're speaking truth, when they hit on that specific thing. This is tied into it, so I'm going to expand it to this mm-hmm. area. In working with all the people that I've worked with, I've only met 5 people. They were more than 30% energetically present in their physical bodies. So what happens is when we're aligned with our soul's purpose, when we're really in the groove, as I would put it, we light up. Our energy lights up. We're much more happy. We're much more joyful. You hear a lot of people who, or some people, they're in the corporate world. They're making big money, and all of a sudden they walk away. And some people call this a midlife crisis. I'll call it a midlife breakthrough where, okay, they're in the corporate world. All of a sudden, they quit the job and open up a bakery. They open up a cupcake company, or they go ahead and open up a woodworking shop, or they start painting, or they do something else. And everyone says, you're crazy. And they're not crazy. They're following their calling. And so doing what other people look at as normal, or what people should, quote, be doing or shouldn't be doing, versus following your soul, is a whole different situation. And, I mean, even people that pick up and say, okay, I'm taking a year off. I'm going to go travel around the world. I'm going to go sailing. Whatever it may be, their soul is calling them. What's interesting for me is after I walked away from the corporate world, and I've had my own oil drilling and exploration company, book publishing, book distribution company. I've had a lot of businesses, and I've worked in a lot of businesses. And part of my journey was traveling around the world and just picking up and going to all these different countries and not knowing when I was going to leave the country. So when I went to different countries around the world, I would not have a fixed date to leave. So some countries I spent a year in, some countries I spent 3 months in, and just following what my intuition was telling me to do. Now, if we all did that, it would not work out very well for us if we had a normal 9-to-5 job, because it's too restrictive. That's why a lot of people are breaking into entrepreneurship, is to follow their own heart's calling.
Right. Well, obviously, if you have a 9-to-5, you can't just take off. I guess I can see that, because there are certain places that I went to that I didn't want to leave, and I had a ticket to go back, but I would have preferred not to. And there were other places where I would have preferred to leave the next day, but because I had a ticket to stay a certain amount of time, I stayed. And I can see how much better it would be for me to be able to really go. But you're saying, really, is to go with a one-way ticket. And then once you get it, decide when you want to go back.
If you – okay, my life has not been the average life. I mean, when I walked away from the corporate world in 1980, I left Southern California, Palm Springs, Rancho Mirage area, and I went camping up to Alaska, when as far north as Anchorage, Fairbanks. I left in June, and I didn't come back till the end of December. So every day I was in a four-wheel drive Subaru station wagon every day, and I was traveling alone. Every day I'd say, well, what do I want to do today? And I met lots of people, but it took, you cannot cancel. When I was president of the corporation and I had 2 weeks a year, I couldn't do that.
No,
so,
I understand. I understand. And to the people think I'm crazy, but I totally get it. But to me, it was like that since I was a teenager. So, like, I went to California from New York when I was 16 for 3 weeks. I didn't come back until 3 years later. So to me, that would have been a normal thing, but I guess it's not safe. It's not it's not concrete, and I don't think most people can handle that, really not knowing what's going to happen the next day. I think you have, like you, had to come to a certain point in your life where you can trust it to be that way. And I guess I jumped into the water maybe when I was a teenager, and I stayed that way for a long time. I still do, but that's not like, and I always expect everyone to be the same way, but it's not like that. Everybody's different.
Absolutely. And what I had to give up to do that was a home, because I lived out of a suitcase, not being married, not having children this lifetime, and Spirit wanted me on the road.
Right.
So
right.
There's definitely a price to pay. I shouldn't say price to pay, they're trade-offs.
Well, yeah, I mean, no matter what you do. So if you want to have children and get married, then you're not going to be traveling. So whatever you do, you can't do everything in one lifetime.
Yeah. There's something that's screaming out in my mind when you're talking and when I'm talking. Here's what's screaming out. A ship is safe in a harbor, but that's not what a ship was designed for. And I really want us for following your passion, for following your guidance, for following your heart, where you're going out and like going out to California as young as you did and staying out there, etc. A lot of people do not have that kind of freedom or courage. And it takes tremendous courage to do something different, especially for a woman. Women are gaining a lot more independence than when I was growing up, and I'm really glad for that. Stretching the boundaries is one of the key things in living, changing, and growing. And, you know, sometimes it works, sometimes you don't. It doesn't, but you learn from your experiences and you make course corrections. A rocket ship, an airplane, all these things are off target 99.99999% of the time. The only reason they land at the target is because they make course corrections. And that's part of following our soul's journey. That's part of us following our heart, is to keep being willing to make those course corrections. Ooh, this relationship is right for me. Oh, this relationship isn't. Place where I'm living is right for me, this job. So it's all about making course corrections and adjustments. And a big part of that is to do it in a way where you're, I don't want to say not hurting other people's feelings and emotions, but explaining to other people that it's not about them why you're leaving. It's about a calling that you're feeling on the inside, so that we're not making other people wrong or bad. It's just that we're having to take care of ourselves, or we're listening to an inner calling.
Right. So to basically break down what you're saying, when someone is looking for the life purpose, the number one thing you're saying is that if you're doing something that makes you happy, then you're probably following your life's purpose.
Yeah, if you're doing it just for the money, if you're doing it just for the money or the status or for whatever it is,
then it's probably not your life purpose.
Pardon?
That it's probably not your life purpose if it doesn't make you happy.
And look for what brings you joy and happiness. Look what makes it. You know, there's some people, they wake up in the morning, they just can't wait to do whatever they do. And there's other people, they wake up in the morning and said, oh, my God, another day. So look at the level
Thank
of
God
aliveness.
Friday,
look
right? Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so that's a great first step.
And again, just because someone tests that they're great at mathematics doesn't mean that's something they're going to want to do this lifetime. It just means that they have developed a lot of skills on that in the past.
But a lot of people that are, let's say, good in mathematics, they want to do mathematics and they love it, so that's a different story. Doesn't mean they have
Absolutely.
To, but...
Follow your passion, follow your heart, and just stop every once in a while and just say, okay, am I in alignment with my own integrity? Am I being true to myself? What is my motivation? Am I here? Am I doing this to please other people? Or is it for me to really please myself? I'll give you a quick story. I was in, I think I was in Peru or Mexico somewhere. And this shaman asked me to work with his daughter because she was very, very ill and she was in college. And I said, she was, I think, 18, 19. So I spoke to her alone and she says, I love my parents, but they want me to be an accountant. And I don't want to be an accountant. I want to be, I want to go into the arts. And we talked a fair amount and, the parents were very, very concerned because the daughter was sick. And I sat down with the family. I told the girl, I said, you keep your mouth shut. Let me do the talking. And she said, okay. And I went back and I said, you know, your daughter's very sick. She's going to die. And they looked at me and they're crying and they're everything else. And I didn't say anything. I didn't tell them when she was going to die. And I said, and then after they were all upset, I said, but there's some hope. And they said, well, what's the hope? Anything. We love our daughter so much. I said, well, if you let her go into arts and music and dancing, I think she'll be okay. They said, anything. We just want her alive. Now, I was telling a little white lie, but I wasn't. But that girl would have died had she not had the freedom. And I was doing my best to act as a guide for spirit, God, however you want to say it, in helping this family to make peace. The father and mother wanted the best for the daughter. They wanted her to have a good foundation in accounting, but it would have killed the daughter.
Right.
So I don't know why that story. Yeah. So that's again about soul's purpose and following your heart, following your dream.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
The other thing I wanted to say is there are no mistakes. So let's say you wind up, especially when I gave talks in the beginning, I had to learn how to give talks. I had to learn how to work with the people. I had to learn to quiet my mind. And this has been a process of every 3 to 6 months of me reinventing myself or achieving another level of spiritual growth. And that's what we're all doing is giving. We have to give ourselves permission because there are no mistakes. There's only learnings. And if we can keep on risking and keep on stretching, that's how we get to where we go. It's almost like a caterpillar stretching, becoming a butterfly.
Yeah.
I've really enjoyed talking to you. I don't want this talk to end.
That's really beautiful. It's really beautiful the way you described it. But I have a question that just came in from one of my listeners in Canada. And it's kind of a long question, but I think you might be able to help her. She's in a lot of pain, okay? So let me tell you a little bit of who she is.
Before you even tell me, I will say this to her. She's got three energies in her energy field that are not her that need to be cleared away. And when those three energies are cleared, she'll be fine. Now you can give me the question.
Okay. So she's 83 years old, and she's been married since she was 19. And her husband passed away, I think, about maybe 10 months ago or a year ago. And she says that every night when she goes to sleep, she asks to please not wake up because she doesn't want to live life without him. And she's not sure whether she believes in God or not. She's not sure whether he is, like, gone forever, but... what would you tell her?
Well, first of all, she has a thought pattern in her energy field that says, God, I wish God would have taken me first. Well, the point that I'm seeing, there's three energies in her energy field, like I said, that are affecting her. There's a reason why she's lived longer. And the more love that she has for herself and compassion, there's a reason God's spirit wanted her to stay alive. And this is about her loving, honoring, and respecting herself and surrendering to whatever is. Okay, so he died first, she died first. If she had died first, he would have been hurting. In fact, she's the strongest of the group. That's one of the reasons she's lived so long. We, on an unconscious level, choose how long we're going to be here on the earth plane. And in my opinion, we have to live each day to the maximum and as best as possible. The other thing is she is not that high on her own priority list. In other words, she puts other people in front of herself. She's a caretaker, caregiver. She loves, but she doesn't take care of and honor herself to the degree that she needs to. So on her priority list, she's pretty far down the list.
Wow. I can't believe you said that. I can't believe you said that because let me give you her words. What she said is, nobody needs me anymore. There's no reason for me to be alive. Wow.
You tell her
exactly.
I need her. Tippy, tell her I need her. Tell her to write me, send me an email. Tell her I need her. Because I would love for her to help me with some of the projects, like on intuition and other things. She's carrying so much wisdom. That's the point. Her whole identity is about taking care of other people.
Right.
Her whole identity being needed, but we on the planet need her. We need her wisdom. We need her love. We need her experience. And that's part of the challenge with people getting older is a lot of people cast them aside and are not looking at them as being the wisdom keepers. She is a wisdom keeper. She holds so much of the experience, the elders of all the indigenous tribes, a lot of people cast them aside. A lot of it in the white culture, the grandparents. I love sitting down and hearing their stories. So I would like to say to her, there is a lot more, but it's just a shift in the way you're looking at it. And like I said before, just her breathing and being present on the planet allows healing to occur. I don't know if she uses the computer or not, but I'd be more than happy to send her some PDF files of both of my books and the meditation to help her. But what a great question. And the other thing is...
She definitely has an email, access to email. So
okay.
We're definitely going to email her.
Anything else that you want to ask a question about?
So that was a question that just came in. And other than that, we're really running out of time. So I'm going to let you to basically say what it is that you wanted to say that you might not have said, unless you want me to ask you something.
Well, I just want to thank you for being so sensitive. And I want to thank you for, it sounds like you're a little bit of a rebel, if not a lot of a rebel, and following your own path lifetime. Anytime we're outside of the box, we definitely stir people up, because a lot of people are living within the box and they get kind of challenged when people don't fit their expectations. So I want to thank you for that. I want to thank the radio audience for listening. And if there's any way that I can help you, please drop me a line. And again, I do everything from helping with people with health and healing all the way to success, relationships. I'm also looking at working with companies and corporations as far as bringing together the teams in a harmonious way to look at what the company was designed for by spirit. What the direction is, what can bring them the greatest amount of profits. And the profits are a result of the company operating effectively and efficiently. So I operate in many, many different areas. Pardon?
Yeah, and that's exactly what we're going to talk about next week, about how to put the kind of team together that you want to put together and how that works, and then you can help people with do that. And yes, I am a little bit of a rebel, or maybe a lot of a rebel, and I did stir up a lot of people everywhere I went, and it didn't make me feel comfortable. It took me a long time to be able to kind of not live from other people's viewpoint, because the pain of seeing other people get upset with me was too much for a while. And I think one of the big important things, like you said, putting yourself first before worrying about what everybody else is thinking is a really, really huge step in growing.
Tippi, can I give you a message from Spirit?
What?
You've been a catalyst for breaking up hard crystalline energy. I've done that too. It is not always fun for us, but it was needed to challenge the other people to look differently at things and to create a new paradigm. That's what I'm hearing. And what I'm hearing is you've done a great job.
I hope. Definitely hope so. And it's definitely been such a pleasure talking to you, Michael. I think I can talk to you for hours, and I'm still not going to be done. But it is time to... And this for today, and the show will be continued next week. So everybody stay tuned, because we will come back next week and we will continue this talk. I'd like to really thank everybody for joining us tonight. It's been really a pleasure. I can feel your energy, and it is skyrocketing amazingly. Thank you, Michael, and have a wonderful day.
Bless you. Thank you, and the audience.
Somewhere to be. You're stuck in a full-time daydream. Always. don't need a man. You got a phone in your hand, and you can't.